In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to people, and he understood that they knew Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord Jesus Christ understood. The people knew of the God of salvation, the covenant God of the Old Testament, the God who had revealed himself in various ways and in different ways in the Old Testament, now revealing himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly identifies himself with the God of salvation, now coming to this world as the Son of God incarnate, the Shepherd. And this psalm, Psalm 23, is often read in funeral services because that illustration of the Lord as a shepherd goes deep down into the heart of many people, that image of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, is a picture that speaks salvation to the aching and weary heart. And that image of a shepherd also awakens within us a yearning. Some people try to find fulfillment in other people rather than to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But unless you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, many people try to find fulfillment in someone else who they will try to find fulfillment in, or in something else, to try and find fulfillment in something else. But that always leads to a sense of yearning and longing, and both those approaches of finding fulfillment apart from Jesus Christ will fail and make people cynical. So the Lord Jesus Christ is striking a deep chord in our hearts when he says, "I am the good shepherd." It's an astonishing claim that he made. And the challenge is, in the light of that claim, what does it mean to respond to him and to trust in him as the good shepherd? And we need to incorporate what he's saying here into our understanding of who God is, the God of salvation. In the Bible, it's one of the many reasons that children can be converted, can become Christians. Other religions may claim that you know God through mystical experiences or by obeying certain rituals and rules, but those are not means that a child can understand. But it's not the way the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God," said Jesus. Children can understand what it means to trust in Jesus as their shepherd. They can trust him as the shepherd and receive the blessings of Jesus, the shepherd, the saviour, the king. There's a hymn in our hymn books written by William Bradbury, written for children. It's interesting that this particular hymn was chosen as one of the children's hymns in our hymn books, because hymn number 904, Hymns for Children, he writes, "Saviour, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us for our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, you have bought us by your precious blood. We are yours, thine we are." Children can know Jesus and trust him as their shepherd. And yet at the same time, that concept of God as shepherd strikes down into the depths of every heart, not just children, but the oldest person here tonight as well, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That shepherd love of Jesus Christ, which led him to lay down his life for the sheep. I read of an illustration where the father of a young Russian soldier was a friend many, many years ago of the then Tsar in Russia, Nicholas I. And this young man, whose father was a friend of the Tsar, the king, had been made the paymaster in one of the army barracks in Russia. But the young man's character was not up to the responsibilities he'd been given, because he went gambling and gambled away a great deal, not only of his own money, but of the government money that he should have been using to pay the soldiers. And in due course, the young man received a notice that a representative was coming to check the army accounts. And the young man who'd been gambling away the money knew he was in trouble. He got out the books, he totaled up the funds he owed, the money he'd wasted and gambled away. He thought about the small amount of money that he had. There was an astronomical debt, and he knew he was ruined. And when the books were checked, he would be disgraced. He even thought about taking his own life. He wrote a summary of all the wrong things he had done with the money. He took out the books, and at the bottom of the books where he had gambled away so much of the money and wasted it, he wrote, "A great debt. Who can pay?" And he thought of taking his life, but he began to drink heavily. He got more and more drunk, and eventually he fell asleep. And apparently that night, the Tsar himself, as sometimes apparently was his custom, made a tour of the army barracks. And seeing a light on in the paymaster's room, he went in and he saw this young man, his friend's son, asleep. And he saw this ledger opened, this book with the accounts. And he began to read. He began to understand what had taken place. And the Tsar read that message, "A great debt. Who can pay?" And with a surge of pity, the Tsar wrote one word at the bottom of the page. And when the young man awoke and saw the ledger and saw what had been written beneath his writing, "A great debt, who can pay?" The word was written, "Nicholas." The Tsar, the king, had put his signature to the debt. The Tsar had come while he was asleep. He'd seen the books. He'd seen that this young man had wasted so much money. But he understood the Tsar was willing to forgive him and pay the debt. And apparently the next morning, a messenger came from the palace with exactly that big amount of money that was needed to pay the debt. "A great debt. Who can pay?" It's like a picture to us. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to people like you and me and says, we have a great debt before God because of our sins, because of our wandering, because of our going astray, because of our misdeeds. "A great debt. Who can pay?" And the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he signs his name. "I am the good shepherd. I'll pay the debt. I lay down my life for the sheep." And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in this passage. He knows the depth of our sins and our indebtedness to God. And yet he says, "I will lay down my life for the sheep." He's acting as a substitute, paying the debt. He died in the dark so that we can live in the light. He died as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world, that we might know his grace and forgiveness. Sheep are sinful and foolish and rebellious and exasperating. Yet out of his love for the sheep, out of his pity, out of his condescension, isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ, not wanting his sheep to be scattered, to be lost, his love was so vast, unmeasured, boundless and free, even for foolish sheep, that he was willing to lay down his life and die for them. And he gave his hands and his feet to the cruel iron of the cross, shed his blood for the sheep. So in the gospel, we call people to believe in and entrust themselves and to rest in this shepherd. And I call on that to you and everyone who hears tonight. That if you come to him, Jesus as the good shepherd will never turn away those who entrust themselves to him in repentance and in faith. Listen to what he says in John chapter 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. If you trust this shepherd, you cannot be lost. How should we respond then to Jesus Christ if he's our shepherd? You understand, in the ancient Near East understanding of a shepherd, the shepherd would go out and lead the sheep would hear his voice and they would follow the shepherd. It's not the sort of shepherd that you will see on a Welsh hillside who will drive sheep from behind with sheepdogs. When the Lord Jesus Christ says he's the good shepherd, he's saying to trust in him, he will lead and guide and save and protect you. Sheep are helpless, they're prone to getting lost. Sheep will wander aimlessly. You set a lion free. What will a lion do? Lions, born free, free as the wind blows, free as the grass grows. A lion will go wild and become free. But you set a sheep free, just wanders aimlessly. You set a lion free, it goes wild. You set a sheep free and without a shepherd, the sheep dies. The sheep has no sense of direction. The sheep has no discernment about what to eat. The sheep will feed on poisonous plants. If the sheep is on its back, it can't get up again. The sheep is stuck. A shepherd is someone who will care for the sheep. A shepherd will live with the sheep even. We used to go on holiday to a place called Obergurgl, high up in the Austrian Alps. And on the hillsides there, at the top of the mountains, were shepherds' huts. Because the shepherds on the Italian side of the Alps, in the summer, when it was hot in Italy and the grass was brown and scorched, would bring the sheep up over across the Alps, down into the Austrian side of the Alps, and the sheep would feed there on the green grass in the colder side of the mountain, on the Austrian side. But the shepherd would not only bring the sheep across the Alps, he would live amongst them. He wouldn't return until he took all the sheep back in the autumn to the Italian side of the Alps. Have you known this care and love and protection and guidance of Jesus as your shepherd, who lives within you by the power of his Holy Spirit? We've all gone astray from God like sheep. Without me you can do nothing, Jesus said. But the Lord, for those who believe, the Lord is our shepherd. Unbelief and pride don't like the notion that we need a shepherd. The unbelieving heart says, be your own boss. You don't need a shepherd. But the unbelieving heart in our culture, not wanting a shepherd, leads to ruin and disaster and lostness. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he describes himself as the good shepherd, is telling us to face the fact we need a shepherd. In the past year, 5 years, 10 years, how many foolish and unwise decisions have we made? We needed a shepherd. How many wrong turns did we take? We needed a shepherd. What's it mean, I'm saying, to ask tonight, what does it mean to trust in Jesus as the shepherd and then to obey him and live for him? What does it mean to shape your life tonight around Jesus Christ if you've entrusted to him, yourself to him, that he's your shepherd? First of all, it means to comprehensively obey the shepherd. Comprehensively, in other words, in every part of life, obey the shepherd. Are you comprehensively, in every part of life, obeying Jesus as the shepherd? A sheep cannot say to the shepherd that there are parts of the sheep's life over which the shepherd has no control. The sheep is entirely dependent upon the shepherd. God says, you will have no other gods before me. God desires complete loyalty and allegiance. When we go astray, we place other things before God. God says, you shall not make an idol for yourself. God alone is worthy of our worship. Do not misuse God's name. Don't take lightly the name of the God of salvation. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. In the New Testament light, the Lord's Day, we worship God. We rest from our normal work. And as you go through the Ten Commandments, you understand what it means to comprehensively obey God in every part of life. That's what a sheep does. But you say tonight, regarding what God describes in his word about what it means to obey him, that there are some of the commandments you agree with, but there are others you will disregard. Say that God has no control over that area of your life. Are there areas of your life where you are excluding God? If you do that, you're denying Jesus Christ as your shepherd. It's critical we see that the relationship between a sheep and a shepherd is one of comprehensive obedience, intimacy, following. There are no areas where the shepherd is to be excluded. The social, the sexual, the professional, the financial, the family, the recreational, the thought life. Comprehensively obeying God. Are you willing to do everything God wants you to do in every area of life? And are you then willing to thank him for everything he's bringing into all those areas of your life? Proverbs 3 verse 6 tells us, in all your ways acknowledge him, acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct, he shall shepherd your paths. A lady once asked John Wesley that if he knew he would die at midnight the next day, how would he spend his time? He replied, why, just as I intend to spend it. I would preach this evening at Gloucester and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I'd ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the societies in the evening. I would then go to Martin's house, talk and pray with the family. I usually retire at around 10 o'clock. I commend myself to my Heavenly Father. I would lie down to rest and wake up in glory. In other words, John Wesley was saying he would just follow his normal daily schedule because he was a man who comprehensively practiced what it means to follow Jesus as his shepherd. So he lived that truth out in every area of his life. So when he was asked, what would you do if you knew you were going to die at midnight tomorrow? He would say, I would do what I always do. I would comprehensively obey Jesus in every area of life. John Wesley wouldn't have changed a thing, even if he knew that that day was the last in this world. Comprehensively obeying the shepherd. So that's the first response. Comprehensively obeying the shepherd. The second response is daily obeying the shepherd. Obeying him comprehensively, but obeying him daily. A sheep, moment by moment, depends on the shepherd. A sheep knows it has no strength, it has no natural defenses. The sheep totally depend on the shepherd. That's a discipline that changes our lives as we are living moment by moment in dependence upon Jesus Christ, obeying him, following him as our shepherd. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10, Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, how could Paul say that? When I am weak, then I am strong. What he's saying, he was living as a sheep, dependent daily upon Jesus Christ as his shepherd. Daily dependence. It means crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ moment by moment. It means hearing his voice every day as he speaks to you through his word and by the Holy Spirit. It means looking at your day and thinking, where am I most likely to go astray, go the wrong way here? When am I most likely to be grumpy or disappointed? When am I most likely to fall into sin? I need to cry out to the shepherd for grace to help, especially when those moments of temptation come nearer. And we all face moments of temptation. We are living in an increasingly dishonest society. Imagine you crash your car in a car collision. And you take your car to the garage to be repaired. And the mechanic tells you it'll cost you £1,000 to have your car repaired. But the mechanic winks at you and he says, he'll bill the insurance company £1,500. The bill will falsely say £1,500 because you have a £250 excess on your policy. The bill to the insurance company will say £1,500. But you actually will only have to pay £1,000 to the mechanic. He'll get back your excess, the £250 from the insurance company. He'll give you your £250 excess back. He'll keep £250 for himself. And he says everybody will be happy. But the Christian knows that arrangement will dishonor the shepherd. Or suppose somebody's aggravating you. And you cry out to the shepherd and you say, you know that as a sheep you are a much more of an aggravation to Jesus the shepherd than that person is to you. So you ask your shepherd for patience, to help you to be patient, because you know you are an aggravating sheep. Or suppose success comes to you and somebody tells you how great you are and you cry out to the shepherd because you know the world's applause is fleeting. And any victory won is the shepherd's doing. And you're dependent upon him and you want to give him all the glory. Or you're encountering a difficulty and you cry out to the shepherd. Even that great valley of the shadow of death. And you cry out to the shepherd that he will be with you and that you'll fear no evil. I'm saying comprehensively obeying the shepherd. It involves every part of life. Daily obeying the shepherd. It involves obeying him moment by moment, day by day. Not just on a Sunday, but every day. And then thirdly, joyfully obeying the shepherd. Obey him comprehensively. Obey him daily. Obey him joyfully. Because when we don't obey Jesus joyfully, we're thinking of him as a hireling, not as the shepherd. A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. The hireling is a mercenary. Tends to the sheep for his own interests. He fleeces them. And if he sees a wolf coming, he'll run. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, he's not a hireling. He is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. The shepherd's entire wealth is in the sheep. The sheep are the shepherd's pride and joy. So the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of knowing his sheep. His sheep as his joyful possession. So we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, Paul says to the Ephesians. God, the great I am, the self-existent God, he doesn't need us as the God of glory. But when we joyfully obey the shepherd, we are like his honor and glory and crown. Listen to Isaiah describing what it means to joyfully obey the shepherd. This is Isaiah 49 and starting at verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child? and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet the Lord says, I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you as I live, says the Lord. You shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. Isaiah uses the figures of speech there of a bride wearing her bridal jewelry. It's a marked reversal for the future of Zion. The picture is of the believer as an ornament of jewelry, as it were, coming to the Lord as an ornament, the bride with her ornaments as the result of the grace of God coming into the life of that person. And Isaiah says, here's a bride wearing her bridal jewelry on her wedding day. And the beauty of the church is seen in its joyful obedience to God. It's like the ornaments of the bride coming to the heavenly bridegroom, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grasp and understand that truth, that joyfully obeying the shepherd glorifies him, we understand that what Jesus is saying when he describes himself as the good shepherd is that his people, his bride, are his joy, his delight. Every other world religion gives you rituals and an ethical system and tells you to perform the rituals, live by the ethical system, do your best, and perhaps God will accept you. The gospel tells you you are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, and then out of thankfulness for the Savior, joyfully obey him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Trust in Jesus Christ. And the reason you obey him then is out of love for him. The shepherd says his people are his joy and honor. It's a distinctive driving force in the life of the Christian, that the Christian is prized and treasured by the shepherd, coming to him like a bride adorned with bridal jewelry. That's the driving force. That's the wonder of the Christian faith. The Christian knows the good shepherd and joyfully wants to follow and be led and guided, and not to be led astray, but to trust him and follow him every day. Comprehensively, daily, joyfully obeying. Jesus calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. A lady in the church here was telling me of her father in Scotland who owned 12 sheep. And the 12 sheep would be out on a hillside with many other sheep grazing on the hillside. But when her father would go to the gate at the bottom of the garden and call, Troac, 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 Gaelic for come, come, come to the sheep, the 12 sheep would recognize his voice. And out of all those sheep on the hillside, the 12 sheep would come. John says there is a shepherd in heaven who knows you by name, who calls you by name. If you're in his hands, you will never perish. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as a lost sheep, the shepherd calls you tonight, and he calls you to comprehensively in every part of life trust him and obey. Daily, in every part of life, comprehensively obey every day. And then to joyfully obey, to rest in him, hear his pardoning voice, comprehensively, daily, joyfully obeying him, trusting in Jesus as the shepherd. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for the wonder, the joy, the delight that is in every heart of every believer in knowing Jesus as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. In the light of this great shepherd, we pray you'll teach us more and more what it means to comprehensively and daily and joyfully obey him, following him, hearing his voice. And as we hear his voice, Lord, we thank you. We do not follow the voice of a stranger, but we follow the voice of the shepherd. My sheep know my voice. The Lord Jesus Christ knows his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. Teach us more and more what that means for us individually and as families and as a church congregation, and for every believer hearing your word tonight. Teach us, Lord, this comprehensive and daily and joyful obedience. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's sing as a closing hymn in this part of the service. 544, 544. Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? We'll stand to sing 544. Let's pray together. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.